There is nothing imminent in the cauldron to suggest that that's going to happen. And might I add that the longer you wait, the higher the rates are going to be.
Correct. That's a good one.
So now's a good time to get in on the ground floor.
Right. That's the plug. Yeah. That's the pitch.
Exactly. You know, you missed out on Google. You missed out on Facebook.
Don't miss on Bali.
Here's a good chance to get in low on Bali because it's going to go to the moon.
Excellent.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. This is Success with Srini podcast. My name is Srini Sripali and I'm your host. I'm a student of success. And on this podcast, I interview people who are amazingly successful in doing what they do. They're common people like you and me, and they're doing some uncommon things. Not only that they love doing what they do, but they also love sharing their story to impact the lives of others in a positive way. Today, my guest is Bill Sorer, CEO of Universal Media Access. With over 35 years of experience in radio business, Bill has seen practically everything. Bill is the master of media business. And for all my Silicon Valley friends, he's the architect behind Desi 1170 AM and now Bali 92.3 FM. This podcast interview was recorded in October 2017, soon after Universal Media Access sold KLOK 1170 AM. This was the time when there was a lot of uncertainty in the market. Radio hosts were moving around, advertisers were moving around, and so did listeners. With so many things going on in the market at the time, I thought it made sense to talk to Bill and get his insights. I reached out, he agreed, and we recorded. And I'm extremely thankful for Bill doing this, not only for me, but also for our listeners. We touched many topics on this interview. The first and the foremost is empowering communities with radio and how the other marketing mediums have failed in comparison to radio. The shift from talk radio to music radio, the sale of 1170 obviously. And finally, Brad Behnke, the manager of this market, and his drive and vision to architect this market. This podcast interview is published in June of 2019. Precisely, today is June 15th of 2019. All this time, I never published this interview because soon after the interview, I lost the file. Just luckily, about a couple of weeks ago, I found the recording. And finally, we edited. I'm recording this intro now, and here it is for you. A lot has happened in the last 2 years. Bali 92.3 FM has become the go-to station for anything South Asian. We have witnessed incredible growth in terms of advertisers coming on board, hosts, and as well as listeners increasing. If you are a radio host, you are a radio owner, you are a station manager, you'll find Bill's insights extremely helpful. If you are a listener of Bali 92.3 FM, you'll get a first-hand insight into what it takes to create and run a successful Indian radio station or any radio station for that matter. And for everyone else, there are many lessons on success in this interview. And without wasting any more time, let's get to the interview and let's pick the brain of Bill. Bill, I'm extremely happy and I'm extremely excited. I can't contain my excitement as I'm sitting in front of you right now and having this conversation. I believe sincerely that I, at least in my understanding about radio, that I had been active on radio for 10 years doing my shows and working through the landscape of radio in general. I haven't seen anybody who understands the media, the old media, the new media, investments into radio as a medium, going deep into communities, going deeper into localities, and building sustainable businesses. Anybody like you, it's an absolute honor. It's a pleasure to be talking to you this way. Thank you.
Well, I'm humbled by that, Srini. It's always good to spend time with you.
Thank you. And I just, Bill, I want to, you have been in media business since 1984, as far as my understanding goes.
That's
publicly
true.
I read that on a website. And I wanted to ask you this. You have seen all the ups and downs. You have seen TV dying and TV coming back. You saw radio dying, radio coming back. So if you have to summarize your entire experience of all these years into one line, what would that be?
Oh, challenging. It's a challenging business. And, I guess another word I would use as opposed to a line would be hype. Mm. Because a lot of things have come along that have been really greatly hyped, but then didn't deliver on their promise or delivered in a way that is probably far inferior to what the initial expectations were. So yeah, I would say it's been a challenging career and one where you have to wade through the hype to sort out what are the real opportunities and what is the hype.
Wow. And kind of going a little deeper into that, is there anything that you think that you should have done and you have not done in all these years? I think you pretty much have done everything.
Oh, I think it's pretty simple. I wish I had bought, Apple stock when it was $14. Mm-hmm. That would have solved the whole program if I would have bought that, and we'd be all done with this. But, unfortunately, I and my partners weren't that prescient. We certainly have bought our share of Apple stock since. But in terms of the radio space, I'm fairly satisfied with what we've done. I started out as a salesperson, then into sales management. And then as I became a GM, I was fortunate to meet my partner, Charlie Banta, and come into the company as an executive looking at not just the day-to-day operations of a platform, but, what other investment opportunities were out there tangentially to our business and just as a whole.
Right.
So to think about what I would have done differently, I don't think we did a deal in the first deal that I was involved with as part of this company. We sold our assets in Buffalo to Citadel at just shy of 20 times trailing cash flow. So today, if you get six, you're doing a war dance. So and that was all Charlie. I mean, I had some input on the operations, but Charlie is a great timer of markets. And certainly that was done at the zenith of radio values. They haven't been back there since, and I don't think ever will be. And then, we moved on in New Jersey, and we did a platform in New Jersey, which we ended up selling to Oak Tree, which then became Town Square Media, or was merged with Town Square Media. And we did okay on that deal, but again, not nearly what we did in Buffalo. But it was the declining values of that deal that led us into analyzing perhaps using radio in a different way than it had been generally used, and that was to do brokered programming in different ethnic communities. That has evolved over the years from doing that to actually creating Bali 92.3, which is an actual full-service music radio station for the Bay Area community and beyond, of course, with the website and the app. But that's where we've evolved to now. So I'm pretty happy with the path that we've been on.
So there are opportunities in the space, and there are threats also equally in the space. Silicon Valley, where everything is about technology and everything is about speed. And here you are penetrating this market with a traditional and 100-year-old solution, which is radio, right? Still betting on it, still profiting from it, still making it relevant. And I think I just want to give one credit to you, Bill.
Just
big one. There's so many, but just this is the big one, the biggest one, right? So for you fundamentally changing the way people listen and the way people consume entertainment. Entertainment is not on air, but I'm just talking about, all the events that you're involved with, all the event promotions, all the star promotions you're involved with. I mean, there are like 15 of them happening in 1 year. I believe that you have fundamentally shifted the way at least the South Asian community listens to radio. And this is my observation from outside in and also somewhat a little bit inside out.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, you are a valued guy to us, in terms of your input into what we do. But yeah, I mean, Brad Behnke, who runs the market in the Bay Area, is obviously a great architect of a lot of this on the ground. But we know that the presentation has to be different than it was in the past, right? Because there are so many of these new media and technological ways to address the audience.
Right.
But it's my belief that at the end of the day, analog technology has been just written off, right? People just say it's done, it's dead.
Yeah.
Okay, but analog radio still has the highest reach of any medium in this country.
Yes.
Statistically proven year after year, generally right around 93%.
Right.
Even television doesn't deliver that kind of reach.
Right.
Now, the time spent listening has precipitously gone down for radio, right? Because it makes sense. There's so many other outlets and options for people to consume media.
Right.
Some of them of our own doing, right? The app, the streaming, there are different ways that still do not get measured in that total audience picture.
Right.
But I think a lot of people have come out and talked about digital media as the future. And it certainly is the present now. It's here.
Right.
And they position things in such a way that these analog technologies are going away, and maybe one day they will. Certainly in Europe, there's a lot more government-mandated paths towards digital radio.
Right.
Whereas in this country, the government did a hands-off policy, and there's still, while there's digital radio, it's not to any standard, and it varies widely in every market. We have it right here, of course, on KSJO with RHD2. But I think outside of a handful of companies you may have heard of, like Google and Facebook and a couple of others, no one's making money in the digital space, you know?
Yeah, that's a profound statement.
Well, and
despite
it's
of all the analytics, despite of all the data.
Show me who's making money in local advertising with digital other than search engines or Facebook. I can tell you that I've spoken directly to radio reps who have run good digital operations. They have a very healthy website, and they do a lot of interesting things, podcasting, et cetera.
Right.
At the end of the day, their revenue is generally, if it's attributed to digital, it's been parsed off of an overall number from analog and claim is it it's digital.
Digital. Right.
I'm not taking away from some of the things that people have done in digital, including us. But we all certainly need to do a better job of increasing the pie, right? Because if you think about it, radio has typically taken 7% of the advertising pie. 6 or 7%, depending who you ask. Well, in the last, let's just say, 3 or 4 years where all these digital technical explosions have happened to increase audience and drive revenue, the figure's still 7%.
Wow.
So where are we really going?
So why do you think that is the case?
I think radio as an industry has trained itself for decades to have an inferiority complex. We have not had really great representation on a national scale. The Radio Advertising Bureau does some good work, but it generally is more driven towards small market stations and training, et cetera. And they've done some better things, but you know, we have not had our share of voice in terms of the discussion of what percentage of the advertising pie we should get. You know, we're not incredibly sexy when it comes to that kind of stuff, but we are incredibly important. You know, locally, recently, the wildfires in Napa and Sonoma. You know, when your Wi-Fi goes out because a substation has burned, you're not tuning into the app to get the news. You're turning into a radio station to tell you what to do.
Absolutely. So, another befitting example is I'm driving to Mount Rainier, and I need to tune to 1670 or 1617, whatever the channel is, to tell me exactly what's happening on the mountain.
Sure.
And no other app at that point would work. They work.
Right.
But again, you don't have the
connectivity. I think we've not had enough national representation. And, you know, there's not been, frankly, enough leadership. And I, being a part of that, will take my share of the blame. But in 1996, the Federal Communications Commission deregulated the industry so that station ownership levels changed and you could buy multiple stations in a market.
Okay.
And at that period of time, you know, that was a pretty significant windfall of revenue for the industry. The industry did not turn any of that revenue back into itself because if you think about it, the radio industry should have been Spotify, right? It should have been iTunes.
Exactly.
It should have been all those things. It should have been in it, taken some of that money and moved into those areas. Right. But instead, other people put the flagpole down and take what should have been ours. And again, during that time that people were doing that, we were making a lot of money. The industry still makes a lot of money. It's a great cash business. But the values of these properties have plummeted in the last, you know, 10 years. AM radio particularly has taken a beating, and FM values too. And we're on the cusp of a major merger in the industry. Entercom is about to absorb the CBS stations.
Wow.
Then they have to spin off some stations in markets, the Bay Area being one of them, Boston being another. There are some others. And that's going to affect values of radio stations based upon the pricing that they get for those spinoffs. And everybody is waiting with bated breath to see how that goes. So, and then also waiting with bated breath to see how this merger, which frankly takes a bunch of really nice stations and puts them under the management of a guy, David Field, who I have a lot of respect for. And I think he, unlike some of the others maybe I've impugned earlier, is a real visionary and a leader for the industry, says all the right things. And maybe with this critical mass of stations and their commitment to digital, maybe that marriage will finally really start to bear some fruit.
So as I listen to you, Bill, you are still betting on analog. How much in your strategy today, and as you are working with Charlie and the management team and the field teams, how much of your input as far as strategy goes is to, hey, go sell some digital stuff? Analog is happening naturally. People are coming, they're listening. But how much percentage of revenue that you expect in terms of numbers on an add-on of digital?
Yeah, I don't look at it like that. To me, it's one total package. So when we're going out there, we're not parsing things out a la carte. We are talking about including you, on, most importantly, on the radio station. Inclusion in the stream, obviously, because we stream 100%.
Right.
The app.
Right.
And then, you know, we have various other digital initiatives, social media, et cetera.
Right.
But it's all one revenue pie for us. We try to go out and sell that as the thrust of Bali into the community. We want you taking advantage of all of it.
Right, right.
One thing I do try to get everybody to do is to innovate, you know, to find different ways to use these various platforms that we have to deliver our message.
Right.
And especially in community events. As you mentioned, we do a lot of events. I'd like to see us double our event schedule, because that sort of interface with the community is what drives the listening to the radio station.
Absolutely.
A little story. I went to the Sharks game the other night, and I took Uber to the game. The gentleman driving me was a Punjabi. And he asked why I was in town, and I told him. And he had never heard of Bali 92.3, which in the South Asian community is a miracle to me. There's no way not everybody, single person can know. But he didn't know.
Okay.
So I sat with our people locally here, and I said, you know, how do we fix that?
Right.
Because that guy should know about Bali.
Right.
Right? He should not. Maybe he knows about it, and he doesn't like it.
Right.
But for him not to know, incidentally, by the way, he did like it.
Right.
And I didn't leave the car until he had downloaded the app.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll take them listeners one day at a time. But we need to get out into the community so that that doesn't happen.
We still hustle, right?
Yeah.
We still hustle.
Oh, absolutely.
Get the message out.
Absolutely. For every single listener, if it matters.
Right.
But, you know, the basis of having a radio station is to serve the community, right? We have a federal license that mandates that we do that. Now, some people take that licensing requirement at the bare minimum and do the bare minimum so that they can say, hey, I serve the community. I've always had a commitment, and certainly Charlie does as well, and did before I did, that being a good, responsible citizen in the community is really good for business. And we've always followed that model. So we will get out back into the community as much as we can.
I want to congratulate you, Bill, for creating some incredible teams wherever you did. You know, at least here in the Silicon Valley, your team is
the best
people, the best, you know, service they provide, and the best acumen they have about business. And not only just they live the radio part, and we talking to Brad a little bit earlier, but just the fact that they indulge themselves understanding the pain, whether it's Greg or Brad or anybody else for that matter, you know, hey, I have a client, I need to know, you know, are you making money? Are you profitable? And not necessarily they're going to tell you the truth. I mean, they would not tell you the truth, because if that is the case, then they have to spend more money on radio. But still, the client feels good because that question is being raised and asked, and there is a certain level of empathy that has been created as a part of the conversation, not once, not at the time that they signed the contract, but every time consistently. Being as a client of the station, I know this happened to me multiple times, so that relationship is not only happening just on air, as a result of the team, the way you built it, but it's also happening off the air with the clients. So credit goes to you.
My mentor in that area was a guy named Steve Marks, who happened to pass away this year, well before his time.
Sorry.
But he was one of the most empathic sales trainers that I've ever dealt with, because he really understood that sales done properly is not a contest. I'm not coming to your business to beat you or trick you into coming onto the radio.
Right.
A lot of radio reps are trained exactly that way, right? It's not so much about what your needs are. It's what our needs
quota.
Are, right? I need to sell I need to sell more of Shreeja's show, or I need to, you know, whatever, as opposed to coming in and asking you, what do you need?
Right.
Because, frankly, if you don't do that, you're almost stealing money, right? Because hopefully you spend your money on a station as great as Bali, and it all works out well in the end anyway.
Right.
But we like to think that we train, and we just finished up a training session just a few minutes ago, that we train our salespeople to go into every single business that they talk to with two ears and one mouth being used in that proportion. You know, to listen to what's going on, ask some questions, but then really spend time listening about what the client's needs are day to day. And hopefully, you know, the relationships develop to the point where you are a trusted confidant, an advisor, and vice versa, right? Because
absolutely,
we, as you know, we go out, we talk to our clients about how we can talk to other clients more effectively, because it's a two-way street.
Right.
If your business doesn't do well, my business isn't going to do well.
Correct.
And there's no sense in me tricking you or beating you into being on the radio station.
Right.
If I'm going to be hearing from you in 2 weeks saying, hey, this isn't working properly.
Right.
You know?
You know, selling packages, getting customers, clients on is one aspect of the business. I think that the biggest challenge that I have seen, and I've been on multiple different stations up till this time in my journey, the challenge has always been, you know, now that I've gotten the client, what can I do to serve the client? What can I do to retain the client? I mean, the first month revenue is right, but what if 30 days down the road, there is no renewal or whatever, right?
Well, you know, that's, again, another legacy of the radio business is that we have too often settled for getting a client on the air for a week or two. And it's not uncommon after that happens to hear the client say, hey, this isn't working for me.
Right.
And that's a very frustrating thing that we impose upon ourselves, because I'll go way back into the wisdom tree here and pull out an example from my time selling radio, where I actually saw team members who wouldn't answer their phones on Monday, because this is way before cell phones. The calls would come in and they didn't want to take that call on Monday morning because they were afraid the client was going to say, hey, it didn't work. Wow. And so we set ourselves up for that because we didn't go into them and say, you've been a 25-year advertiser in the newspaper. You need to give me more than 2 weeks.
Wow.
And my benchmark, which was taught to me by that gentleman I was discussing before, was 13 weeks.
Okay.
And it took some fortitude, right? Because not many people were prepared to jump out and do 13 weeks. But in a way, you give yourself credibility by saying that, right? So you can't say to me after 2 weeks it isn't working. You can say that to me after 13 weeks if we schedule this properly.
Right.
You know, and then in another example, you know, I had a guy who had a furniture store who made me cram 120 seconds of copy into a 60-second commercial, and then called me in on Monday and said, this isn't working. And I said, well, your commercial's lousy.
Right.
You know,
right.
And again, that's even that bare minimum statement is bold for a sales rep, right? Because you might be jeopardizing the buy.
Correct.
And he said, I don't think it's the copy. I think it's the station. And I said, listen, guy's name was Frank. I'll go only that far with his name.
Right.
I said, listen, Frank, the station's about 20 minutes away. Let's drive there right now. We'll walk into the studio. I'll have the jock pot up the mic, and you can make an announcement that the first person who shows up at your store gets a free set of furniture.
Right.
And he said, I'm not doing that. And I said, why not? He said, because somebody will be there in 20 seconds, and I don't want to give away the free furniture. I said, yeah, that's exactly right. It's because your message, that's a great message. The one you have on the air now is lousy.
Right.
That, to me, is the value of a good advertising salesperson, that they will speak that frankly and be prepared to say, if you don't want to do it the way I, as the expert in radio, know how to do it, then I'm going to walk away from it. And you can go somewhere else.
Right.
You can go to somebody who will take your money gladly and not care how things are going to be in a couple of weeks. I can't make a living that way for my lifetime. You wouldn't walk into a nuclear plant and tell them how to run the nuclear plant, would you? Well, I'm the radio guy.
Yeah.
You're the furniture guy.
Right.
But it takes some fortitude.
But they don't listen to that ad, right, at the time they tune in. That's the issue. And I don't listen to my ad, so you're not running my ad.
Yeah. You know, that's another maddening thing in radio is that clients who need to know exactly when their ads run.
Right.
Because really, if you're selling radio properly, you're using radio throughout the day,
right,
not just in morning drive,
right,
because there's people listening all the time. Yes, the great majority of them listen in morning drive,
right,
but if you only go there, you limit yourself. So it's maddening. And
there's competition there in that time, and multiple other ads are playing.
Exactly.
And then, there's a dilution there. Yeah.
And again, so we're the experts, right? We're not trying to take your money and put your ads in at night.
Right.
We're going to put them everywhere. They're
going
to run on the weekends.
Hopefully
they run everywhere so that after 13 weeks,
right,
it sounds like you are the biggest national advertiser in the world.
Right.
And it will happen that way, but people get insecure.
Right.
I want all my spots to run in morning drive.
Right.
No problem, but the price is five times what you're paying for buying all over the radio station. Well, I don't want to pay that.
Right.
Well, you know, so you have to listen to somebody who is supposed to be an expert at what they're doing.
Right.
And you have to have confidence that they do know what they're doing.
Right.
And then if everything's laid out properly by them and it doesn't work,
right,
then they haven't done their job right.
Because
they've run the wrong copy or there's some miss. But radio used properly rarely misses. And that's why you still hear so many advertisers nationally using it.
When I read that Priceline, when they launched as a .com business, they launched it through radio with 3,000 radio stations simultaneously playing their ads. That's how they got the initial push.
Yeah, their rollout.
Rollout. Yeah, exactly. And then the launch happened very well. And subsequently, I'm pretty sure they're still running
their
ads on radio.
Sure.
Yeah. So, Bill, a question that has been on my mind for a long time, and I think we spoke about this a couple of days ago, the Silicon Valley and a lot of investors, a lot of startups, a lot of new media, new stuff happening. I have struggled personally to convince the Silicon Valley investors to really look into radio as a mechanism. And the first question I've encountered is, can you show me statistics that 300,000 listeners are listening to your station? And no, I don't have statistics. Well, can you go get some Nielsen ratings or something like that? Those are statistical. They are derived results. They're not absolute numbers. I've used all kind of ways to give that answer. But then it seems to me that just at least the South Asian part of Silicon Valley specifically Indians, India from where I am, and Indians so successful in the Valley doing their stuff, and they made a lot of money, and they have money, but they refuse to invest in radio. And I want you to kind of clear the air a little bit, and come, I want your perspective.
Well, I think
this.
There is a big disconnect between that, but I think there's a, you know, the, in Silicon Valley, there's a perception that radio is antique technology. And, you know, compared to what those people are working on, it is. But doesn't mean it's ineffective. And,
right.
you know, we wouldn't have, you know, we just sold KLOK.
Right.
And, you know, we grew that station
right.
from a startup to a pretty good operation and sold it for a fair price.
Right.
And, you know, we could have the opportunity to do that with Bali. We've had people inquire about, this is a great
right.
signal, an
right.
FM signal in
right.
Silicon Valley,
right?
Right,
right.
So there's value in that, but it's hard to define it.
Correct.
We are now, I mean, you have to think that Bali's still a baby, right? It's
right.
It's a year and a half old, basically.
Right.
And it takes time to build brands, and it takes time to
right.
build radio
right.
stations.
Right.
But we know, we've recently purchased more, not quantitative, but qualitative data from
right.
Nielsen
right.
called Scarborough, which shows very favorable numbers for the South Asian audience in the Bay Area.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen that yet, but I'm happy to show it to you. But, you know, that just shows that our audience is primarily 25 to 44 years of old. I think 70% have one or more children. Everybody's well-educated, have white-collar jobs,
mm-hmm.
just exactly what you would expect
right.
if you were going to predict what it would look like.
Right.
Now, on the quantitative side, the actual Nielsen side,
mm-hmm.
we don't subscribe to those numbers. However, they do release general numbers in the trades
mm-hmm.
on a monthly basis. The,
mm-hmm.
the ratings are measured monthly by a people meter, which is a kind of pager,
mm-hmm.
those of you old enough to remember what pagers
right,
are,
right, yeah.
Type device, which I don't think is the greatest way to record radio ratings, but right now it's the state of the art. And so we get to see what the Bay Area numbers as a whole look like,
mm-hmm.
and then what the San Jose numbers, which are part of those Bay numbers,
mm-hmm.
break out as.
Mm-hmm.
So in the last publicly released figures, because again, we don't own these, KSJO Bali 92.3, in San Francisco, it's a three-month rolling average, so a 0.2, a 0.2, and then a 0.3. So it's starting to grow. Now,
wow.
you asked me what the top stations in the market are getting, like 3.0, and 4.
Wow.
We're not that far away from them, given the size of the community we're serving. And
mm.
the important thing is we're growing.
Mm.
But if you break that out into San Jose,
mm.
it's 0.6, 0.6, 0.6. So you see the rating goes up
wow.
because more of the South Asian community is concentrated here. So, again, very embryonic numbers.
Right.
But what those numbers represent is the quality that I was just describing to
right.
you.
This
is a great audience that you want to reach.
And right.
So, you know, back to that example of the Uber driver, I said to – I pulled our guys in here, and I said, that's very frustrating. You know,
mm.
there's got to be a way,
mm.
aside from the festivals, you know, what is the one way into
mm.
the South Asian community, right? Because there's
right.
some cable.
Right.
You know, my buddy Ravi's out there doing cable, and, you know, but there's not any one real way.
Right.
Except Bali 92.3.
Wow.
We can't, that is the easiest portal into the South Asian community in the Bay Area.
Wow.
So it's our job now to really be proselytizing that message out into the community that we're here to stay. And
so I want to ask you, this is so dominant now that you're saying, how did KLOK happen? Like, an Indian would have seen this opportunity, right? It was there in front of
yes.
them, right?
Yeah.
And nobody looked into it, right?
We didn't have any special crystal ball either, Srini. We started a negotiation with company is slipping my mind at the moment, but we started the negotiations for the station because it was a huge station, right?
Mm-hmm.
50,000 watts,
right.
and just really good penetration throughout the Bay Area,
right.
and
right.
and a nice signal at night as well. And we did not buy it with the intention of doing any specific format. And
okay.
it was Brad's idea to start playing some Indian music
wow.
and see how the response went. Well,
hmm.
we did that also with some German music and some Greek music, some Russian,
okay.
just to see. And by
right.
far, the response from the South Asian community was the biggest. So that's
yeah.
literally how we decided that based upon that response, that was the way to go. You kind of thought that way anyway, right? Because if you were going to pick any community to serve that wasn't being served well,
hmm.
it would have been the South Asian community, right? Which,
right.
again, it was sitting out there in front of everybody.
Right.
And it worked out very, very well for us. I mean, we became, I think, a well-liked and at least an important part of the community.
Of course, yes.
Certainly we have our detractors, but I think we have far more supporters. And we had an opportunity to exit at a pretty good multiple. And it was really hard to see it go because it holds a very special place in my heart.
In my heart, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we're all about Bali now and graduating on to, you know, serving this community with a full – with a radio station that everybody can listen to all the time. And so far, so good.
Right. So that was a very educated, experience-driven, instinctive decision to kind of go and get into KLOK, test different things, see which one sticks, and then grow that part. And what's your plans for other areas now? We have a huge concentration in New Jersey area, the tri-state area. Then we have a lot of concentration in North Carolina, South Carolina.
We experimented back in the New York, the tri-state area, a couple years ago. We just had a bad partner we worked with, and that didn't work out so well. We still hold that station, and that's certainly an option for that market. We don't think it's being well served. There's been some stations starting to do it and then stopping and, you know, claiming to be bi-coastal and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
but we, you know, we see the opportunity in other markets. We used to be in Dallas. Mm. We like Houston, Chicago, Raleigh.
Right.
You know, wherever there's tech.
Dallas, yeah.
Yeah, we're looking. Yeah. And, again, you know, our ideas now are to look at these values as they continue to plummet.
Mm.
Again, I mentioned that merger, and I'm anxious to see how prices are affected by it.
Right.
And when the time is right and the price is right and the market is right, we'll be ready. Our investors are anxious to do more.
So you're looking for any investors in the Valley right now to come in and join you?
We are always looking for people to partner with, yeah. And we have not had a lot of success in the Valley because, frankly, we haven't concentrated there.
Right, right.
And, you know, if anybody wants to discuss that, I'm my ears are always open and happy to sit down and have a cup of coffee and talk about it. We're not just looking in radio. We're looking at some other things as well. But radio is the foundation. You know, we've found that it serves us well in terms of returns. And, you know, we've got good experience in it now. We've got really good management. So that's a very good combination to have.
Excellent. Well, coming down to small business owners and just like me or anybody else for that matter, if you have an advice for them how they should get on radio and what is the first thing they should do and what's the last thing they should do when it comes to radio based on your experience?
Well, I think the first thing they should do is sit down and be really honest with themselves about what their business is and what it needs, right? Because there's a lot of business owners out there who are living in a parallel world in terms of what their business is and how it's perceived.
Right.
And I think that you need to know that when you talk to certain radio representatives from this company, all of them, I should say, that you're going to get a candid evaluation of what your business is if you allow them the time to ask you the questions for them to be able to determine that. Beyond that, once that's determined, I think the most important thing is to properly commit to the medium. Again, you can't accomplish what you've built up in a newspaper over 26 years with a radio schedule that runs for 2 weeks.
Right.
You just can't. Right. You need a minimum of 13 weeks, I think, to really give a really good solid quarter with the right copy.
Right, and, you know, elements, yeah.
The right commercial is so important. And I can't tell you the number of times somebody would hand me a script and say, here, run this. My wife wrote it.
Right,
you know, and that's when you really got to have some courage to say, well, your wife is not a good copywriter.
Right.
We need to,
because
everybody wants to take a 60-second commercial and just fill it, right?
Yeah. And it takes back to another another observation I made on KLOK, which was majority of the businesses that actually stayed on KLOK and kept on, you know, making that ad spend were those companies that were started by people just because there was a radio as an opportunity as KLOK. And before that, they did not have a business. They got on because there was a lot of response, a lot of engagement. They heard that. They got on radio. They started doing the ads. And because they could see the engagement going on, they said, oh, let me go build the business that I was supposed to build 20 years ago because there is a crowd. So which is good, which is great. But then the dependency on that radio in their mindset has been dominant. I'll give the credit to Brad and everybody else in the team who kind of kept the businesses alive by continuously delivering the kind of response they were seeking. But then you are now, you know, in any business, the word one is very dangerous. You have one marketing medium, you have one customer, you have one product, you have one sales guy, you have like everything is one. What's your recommendation when it comes down to a small business, you know, they're struggling to spend the money, but they do get on radio, they stay 13 weeks? Where should they go beyond that?
Well, that's a really difficult question, and it varies by business, right? There's different choices for each of them. I think at the end of the day...
And there's a deeper meaning, Bill, why I'm asking the question, because every time somebody is dependent on one media, there's a tremendous pressure on the account manager to really deliver that response.
Without a doubt.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're compromising the on-air quality because you now have to run more ads, you have to give more exposure, all that. So it has a cascading effect.
Well, and again, the no one situation is perfect, right? Mm. And having options is a good thing. But I think more important than all of that is that candid discussion with whoever you're doing business with.
Mm.
About what the needs are and what the radio station can deliver, right? Because you're constantly contracting with people, right? You're saying that if you spend money with me doing either a long-form show or a 60-second commercial, that clients are going to come in the door.
Right.
Now, if you sell tombstones, right, everybody eventually is going to be a customer at some point, right?
Yes.
And yet not everybody buys tombstones.
Right.
So if you go into this with the idea that if you advertise on radio, people are going to flock in to buy tombstones,
right.
It's not true. Right. Now, the difference is, I believe in our companies, some companies will still take that money and say that we will produce for you, right?
Mm.
And that anybody who comes in 16 years later bought their tombstone because you heard that ad back in 1994 or whatever.
Right.
So I think it's that honest discussion of what the needs are.
Right.
And what the capabilities of the radio station are,
right.
And a contract bound by those things.
Mm.
And again, another thing that never happens for the most part in radio is when you advertise with me, before we actually put that campaign on the air, how often have you sat down with a radio rep and said, this is how we're going to measure success?
Right.
That baseline never gets established,
right, exactly.
which is lunacy.
Right.
Because then how do you know? Then at the end of the day, after those 2 weeks that I keep referring to, and you come to me and say it isn't working, how do you know?
Right.
You don't know because we haven't said, I need to sell one bottle of Gatorade, and that will show me that your station works because I'm not selling any.
Right.
Or I need to sell 16 bedroom sets during my sale this week, and that's going to show me. But that never, ever gets established.
Right. So there has to be a measure or a grading that they need to have before even they consider
it. We call it contracting. We agree on that. Before anything is done,
right.
We say, this is how we're going to measure this.
Wow.
Because that way we can sit down and again, because it's not a contest.
Right.
Right. It's not a contest for you to beat me up to get a lower ad rate or get more bonus spots.
Right.
It's not how it's as a business.
Right.
To your question before, I mean, so many radio stations are not run like a business.
Right.
It's just they have a budget and so many spots and
they
got to go out and sell them. Well, that's not how we do business. We believe that if we do business honorably, and we most importantly produce results, it perpetuates itself.
Absolutely.
And
you might have heard this this multiple times, and I have been on the client side of the table and going into Brad's office and saying, hey, I'm not getting response. And then having that conversation multiple times, and eventually one day, about 1 year into my engagement with KLOK, me going back and saying, Brad, I'll never have this conversation with you that I'm not getting response. It's my personal influence. If I'm not getting a response, I'm failing on radio. And I had that conversation with him. How much, in your understanding, is lack of response a station problem?
I think it can be, but I think in general, it's always, 99% of the time, it's a message problem.
Mm.
It's a content problem.
Yes.
Now, there are times in the more mainstream space where your morning drive show is faltering and there's less and less listeners.
Right.
So the level of response is declining.
Right.
But consider this. How many times do you hear an ad on the radio where at the end of it they say, mention KXXX and you get 5% off?
Right.
Now, nobody wants to mention, I heard it on KXXX to get 5% off.
Mm.
Right? It just doesn't happen.
Right.
You're on a long line at wherever and
you want to say,
and then the clerk says, hey, are we supposed to give a discount if they heard it on KXX? And the line gets longer and people want to avoid that.
Correct.
But I will tell you this. If you said, mention KXXX and you get a free Rolex,
people
are going to mention KXXX.
Yes.
So
yes.
To me, even the worst rated radio station has listeners. All of them do.
Yes.
Some have way more, but some of them do. And if you use any radio station correctly, you will get results.
Right.
And, but again, if you're trying to sell a $900 bedroom set for $1,500,
there is a
people
problem.
Know.
Yes.
In the age of the internet, when you can go online and virtually check everything,
right?
Don't try to fool people because they know.
Right.
And probably the ones that you do fool, you don't want to do business with anyway, because I'll bet their credit is suspect.
Right. So, well, there is this thing going on. And you kind of mentioned at the beginning of this podcast that there have been people approached Bali for a sale. Here you are building the brand. It has gotten a tremendous traction right now. So what's the most effective way that to counter that when your salespeople are going out and selling and they're being told, man, you're going to sell the station anyway, so I'm not going to come as a
client.
Well,
you know, listen, everything's for sale, right? If somebody comes in here and offers a certain number,
But
that's, you know, that as I mentioned, the merger that's going on, there's all kinds of factors in the market. And our ultimate decision was, listen, we got a great FM radio station in Silicon Valley, and we're going to continue to operate it.
Right.
So,
right.
That being the case, there are some people who have genuinely curious intent about the radio station potentially being sold. And then there are those who maliciously spread rumors that that's the case.
Right.
What I would say to that is that we just made a substantial investment with Nielsen to get that qualitative research.
Right.
If I were about to sell the radio station, that probably wouldn't happen.
Right.
We are about to make the announcement that Srija Sharma is joining the company as a morning drive RJ.
Right.
And I can tell you she doesn't come cheap.
Right.
And if I were looking to sell the radio station, which has been fairly successful without a morning drive RJ,
right,
I wouldn't do that.
Right.
So
right.
I can tell you that I've been in radio before. And I've told staffs the station wasn't for sale one day, and literally the next day drove back and told them they had been sold. So anything could happen. But I'm here to tell you that the anecdotal evidence suggests that that's not going to happen.
Right.
So that being said, anything can happen. We all know that.
Right.
But I have to tell you, I am very, very excited about operating this to maturity, because we think we're in our infancy right now.
Right.
Certainly the moves we're making are exciting. Having Gurpreet on the air right now has been amazing. Again, another example. If we were going to sell this, why would we bring Gurpreet in and pay her?
I mean, we wouldn't be interested in all the talent. Yeah. So there is an investment going on.
I've had discussions with people here. You know, I get to town usually at least every other month, and often every month. I've had people tell me that certain organizations were going to buy the radio station who I've never heard of, let alone talked
to.
So, you know, it's an effective way for competitors to, you know, position to clients. So you don't want to buy them, they're going to get sold.
Right.
You know, well, if you don't, you're missing the bus, because we're here. And
I would look at it, you know, hey, it's not happening now, not happening next month or two. And if there is a sale, it takes 6 months for it to really complete.
Yeah.
So let me maximize my time on air and do what I have to do.
And there is nothing imminent in the cauldron to suggest that that's going to happen. And might I add that the longer you wait, the higher the rates are going to be.
Correct. Yeah, that's a good one.
So now's a good time to get in on the ground floor.
Right. That's the plug.
Yeah.
That's the pitch.
Exactly. You know, you missed out on Google. You missed out on Facebook.
Yeah, Don't miss on Bali.
Here's a good chance to get in low on Bali, because that's going to go to the moon.
Excellent. Is there any question, Bill, that I should have asked you and I could not ask you in the time that I had with you?
I think you've been pretty thorough. My favorite color is blue, and my favorite sport is hockey, and I love Indian food.
Are you going
to
move here? Let me ask this. Are you going to move to California now that Bali is doing so well?
Am I going to move here?
Yes.
Well, I'm an East Coast guy. I will say that. Born and raised in New York City.
Yeah.
My mom is still in New York City.
Right.
So as long as my mom is in New York City, the answer to that question is no.
She doesn't want to move.
No, she's not going anywhere. She's 84.
Wow.
She's very, very comfortable where she is, although she loves California.
Mm.
I love California. I could live here in 2 seconds. I really love the Bay Area, and especially Silicon Valley. So right now, the answer to your question is no.
No. Maybe in future.
In the future, who knows?
If an investor in Silicon Valley comes and says, hey, here's $100 million, you know, go build whatever.
We can ship mom out for that kind of money. So, yeah.
Will, it was an absolute honor, pleasure talking to you.
Likewise, anytime, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you. I appreciate it.